Last time we finished talking about Savayan, we began the Malacha of Kosher, but I came across a couple other nekudos on Savayan that I want to go back to. I noticed in this past week that on YU Torah's homepage, they featured a shiur by Rabbi Shalom Rosner on the topic of Savayan. I guess he's doing a series on Malacha Shabbos. And I looked, they had Mar Mekomah sheets of his. I opened the Mar Mekomah sheets to see what he had. It's the old style Mar Mekomah sheets from like 20 years ago. I assume it wasn't, he didn't make them this week. When you used to actually in the pre-Bar Ilan days, when you had to cut and paste literally to put together Mar Mekomah sheets. So we had there a couple interesting things. One of which, this is to Yossi's point. Yossi asked, "Why don't we say regarding the blood sugar urine test that inserting a stick into the sample that will change color would be considered derech lichlich?" So in fact, Rav Neuwirth actually says that. In a brief tshuva or essay that he wrote on this topic, printed in a Torah journal, let's see if I have the name here, Teretz Shlomo, Chelek Ches. So he makes a point that maybe that's also considered derech lichlich because you have no interest in the stick that's turning color per se. You're going to throw it out right away. So he considers that to be Derech Lichluch, which he doesn't mention for Shabbos, these other considerations, but in that essay, he calls that Derech Lichluch. And the other thing that this Mar Mekomah's packet piqued my interest about was further examination of Rav Moshe's position regarding Shabbos makeup. So we had quoted last time Rav Moshe's earlier Shuvah Chelek Aleph Kuf Yud Daled, where he writes about white powder, that applying powder on the face is considered Einam Mizkayim Klal. And therefore, mutter, that's super temporary. And we quoted that Rosh Hashanah, quoting Shmiras Shabbos, is cholak on that, that even something that's Einam Mizkayim Klal is not considered a, there's no heter of Tzaveh, even by Eino Mizkayim Klal. So, what exactly is the gather, what Ramosha wrote there, that applying white powder is considered to be Eino Mizkayim? Deborah Tzina writes, in Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Kaf Gimel, Bir Moshe Chelek Vav Kuf Kaf Gimel, that even though he himself, the Abyssinier, wasn't Matir white powder, but Ibrahim Moshe was only Matir white powder, but not color powder. And he refers to someone who said otherwise than Ibrahim Moshe, and he says, Pela Lichtov Lehepach Bishmo, Davar HaMefurash, Ibrahim Moshe is clear that he only gave his heter when it comes to white powder. However, in the Kovetz LaTorah LaRav, which is a Torah journal put out by MTJ, 1977, in a collection of Psakim of Rav Moshe, not written by Rav Moshe, but written by, looks like mostly Rabbi Bluth, quoting Rav Moshe, there, LaTorah LaRav, Volume 7, Tavshin Lamed Zayin, I think it's page 28. The author of these psakim, Hashem Moshe, writes, this is in the context of a woman who's concerned that she won't be able to be properly master Leil Tfilasa on Friday night. And one of the concerns a woman may have is she goes out in public without makeup, people will tell and think that she isn't wearing makeup because she had to go to the mikvah. So it says there in this volume of the Torah, Rav Hashem Moshe, that after a woman goes to the mikvah, she is allowed to put on makeup, open heter, to go and impowder, afa pi shehei mikama mine tzvios, even if they're colored, she'ein la basis shamnonit, if it doesn't have an oil base, hanid beka laguf, that adheres to the body. So here, Moshe is quoted as allowing not only white powder, but colored powder, if it doesn't have an oil base. Then, in a letter on Ramosha's letterhead that appeared in a magazine called Jewish Woman's Outlook, October, November 1984, which Rabbi Bleich quotes in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 4. And Rabbi Rosner included in his Mar Mekomah sheets. And this letter on Ramosha's letterhead, is subsequently published in the posthumous Chelek Ches, Simon Kaf Zion. So here it says, the Heter that Moshe wrote about in Chelek Aleph, that white powder applies to colored powder as well, as quoted in that volume of the Torah Ulorah. Gam nachon Masha Marta sheyesh lizar militein Heter klali gam lavka levanav. You can't give a blanket Heter. Shachar nisayon v'chakiros udvishos nira sherov ha'afkos enim karos etamukin hashem na'asos em basis shal minei shamnunis. Most of these powders do have an oil base. Yesh b'hem shemes kaimu l'zman. U'memele yesh b'ruban chashash soveya. Rak acherim she'enim es kaimu l'tarim. U'beli nisayon b'umdan davar kazeh kasheh lach b'yem en estam. You have to experiment. What did I mean in my tshuva chelek aleph? That was talcum powder, where there's no oil base. Ve'ena miskayamis. And you also have to be concerned about mamachek when it comes to applying makeup. So in this advertisement in the Jewish Women's Outlook, October, November 1984, which is signed on the bottom, they have this letter on Moshe's letterhead in Hebrew, then translated into English, and then signed on the bottom, for further information, please contact two names of rabbis who have since been discredited. It says on the bottom, extensive testing has determined that the following cosmetics are permissible for Shabbos usage. Please note that it is essential that no base or water be applied to the face prior to application of cosmetics. This listing is exclusive. It is not to be assumed that similar colors of the same or other brands are permissible. So if you read what's printed here, B'Shem Ramosha, the impression you get is that the heter to use these types of cosmetics is some kind of Eina Miskayim Klal, that it's not going to last for any given amount of time, and therefore mutter. So what? How would you know what the gather of Eina Miskayim Klal is? How do you know where to draw the line? And what makes it Eina Miskayim Klal? Meaning, if it's going to last long enough to have any benefit in applying it, shouldn't that be enough Miskayim to concern us? That's essentially what Rabbi Bleich raises in his analysis of this, reprinted in volume 4 of Contemporary Halachic Problems. He says he did experimentation, and these cosmetics on the market, marketed as Shabbos makeup, will last for between 60 and 90 minutes. He writes that talcum powder will last for 45 minutes, and talcum powder, you can understand more readily why you'd be prepared to be makeup, because that's not really the derech anyway to apply as makeup, and maybe that's analogous. You don't usually color yourself with talcum powder. So maybe that's analogous to eating tutim or dirtying your clothing with tutim. If something's not the derech at all, that may not be a concern of Seveya, even if it is somewhat miskayim, as the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Kaf, Sivkata Nun Ches, that we saw. But if it's something that enhances the appearance in such a way that women usually would apply makeup, then if it's going to stay on the face long enough to be noticeable, to have some benefit, that is considered Eina Miskayim Klal. So that's Rabbi Bleich's observation there, not understanding what Ramosha meant to say. However, Rabbi Blumenkrantz, in an article written in the Sefer Zikaron, L'Torah L'Rav, beginning on page 210, the way he presents Ramosha's position, he writes that he discussed it with Ramosha, and he brought Ramosha samples that Ramosha looked at. The way he presents Ramosha's position is that the Nakuda wasn't Eina Miskayim versus Miskayim per se in terms of length of time that it adheres to the face, but rather the Ramosha is based on a different consideration, that these types of powders or makeup aren't really embedded in the skin. So just as in our discussion of photogrey lenses, we have the mashal that if you put a piece of colored paper on glass, no one would consider that saveya because there's no shifas between, even if the color is the glass, but there's no intertwining of materials. There's no shaykhus between the colored paper and the piece of glass that would be considered saveya. So here too, if you're applying something that doesn't adhere, isn't embed that isn't embedded in the skin, but rather is more external, and maybe that's not a violation of saveya for that reason. It's not what Rav Moshe sounds like in what's printed Bishmo, but that's what Rabbi Blumenkranz writes, and that's what he assumes Rav Moshe is based on. Yeah.
Oh, I'll hop in a minute.
Okay. He thinks, he points out, the way we assume halacha, based on the Rambam, the way the Mishnah Berurah developed, that putting on makeup on the on a face, the body, is no more than just a Rabbanan because there's no tzviya bor ha'adam. He points out there are Rishonim that disagree with that. There's a Smag that disagrees and assumes that putting on Sarak may even be a violation of a Malacha Daraisa. But Rabbi Blumenkranz says, even according to the Smak, it's arguable that this would be mutter because this isn't Saveya Bechlal. This is the substance that isn't embedded in the face. It just adheres in an external way. It wouldn't be Bechlal Saveya. So I asked Rabbi Shmuel Fishelis, who is David's son-in-law, who is the current Rav HaMakshir on one of these Shabbos makeups. Someone pointed this out to me. I looked online, Shabbos brush-ups. So they have a certification letter by Rabbi Fishelis dated this a few months ago. So I asked him how he understood Rav Moshe. He said he never heard this Rav Moshe directly, that his understanding of Rav Moshe's position is based on the way we saw from Rabbi Blumenkranz, which seems a little bit more mistaber, maybe easy to understand, even though that's not what seems to be reflected in the Lashon in Igros Moshe, and that's the basis on which he gives his hechsher, which he says he was Morish. It's what Rabbi Blumenkranz used to give a hechsher on, and then someone else, and he was Morish that hechsher. He said that his father-in-law did not endorse using this, but that's how he understood Rav Moshe's position. So the letter that appears on this website, which is similar to the letter that Rabbi Blumenkranz had written when he endorsed these products a number of years ago. It says guidelines for using this list of cosmetics that are non-oil based and purportedly are not embedded in the body. He says the cosmetics may be used on Shabbos under the following conditions. Number one, all powders must be in loose form. Number two, an applicator or brush specifically designed for or designated for Shabbos or Yom Tov should be used. Number three, the face must be totally dry prior to application. Number four, no powder may be used in conjunction with any other permissible powder, base foundation, or moisturizer. Number five, lip powder must be on clean lips. They also have there on this website a letter from Rabbi Aaron Trauser of Bracha from London, who says that even though there are many that are cholik on Rav Moshe's hetter, and it's not my place to be machria bein harim gedolim, but given that Baba Nisena Rabbim Parit Sadavar Ma'od, the Harvey Nashim Shomer Shabbos B'chol Davar Afer are more heter la'atman regarding makeup with Chil Shabbos. So we should be Bocher Harabim Yuto in essence. And if a woman is needs makeup and otherwise would be Mechal Shabbos and be worse, then one can rely on Rav Moshe B'Revach Gadol, one can rely on Rav Moshe to use this type of material. And one of the competitors also I saw, Shady Cosmetics, not endorsing anyone here. He has a Haskama from Rabbi Yirmiyahu Katz, Shlita from Brooklyn, the author of the 3-volume series on Mikvos. Phenomenal posek. So he writes as well, my intention is not to be machshir using makeup on Shabbos. However, we know Rav Moshe's position, which is also the position of Rabbi Chaim Da, We know many are cholek. It's not my intention to be machri in this machlokas. I'm just giving a hefsher on the mitzias that, according to, if one follows the motion position, then these types of cosmetics fit into that category of cosmetics that Ramosha would have been matir, and then he has a similar list of conditions for using this type of makeup. Rav Avadya also was mako. Regarding powder, colored powder as well. He says, since anyway we assume that putting on makeup is only Yisra D'Rabbana. According to some of the Rishonim, they don't quote, the Rif doesn't quote the Yisra of Sirach at all. So according to some Rishonim, there may not even be an Yisra of putting on makeup to begin with. So we're machmir on that, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. But if something's Eina Miskayim Klal and Eina Nidbekes Bapanim, so something both these considerations, it's not Miskayim, however you define it, and it doesn't really get embedded on the face, so then you could be Matir. So in these companies, I quote Rav Avadya and Sfardi Poskim as being Matir this product as well. But most Poskim are not so excited by this. So, one second. Most Poskim are not so excited by this and assume that in terms of Darshanim Skayim, it's not Pasha that even if it's Einam Iskayim Klal that creates a heter, and it's not Pasha what you would consider Einam Iskayim Klal, and if it's going to last long enough in order to have some benefit, maybe that's sufficient Iskayim. And it's not necessarily Pasha that the second argument is correct, that this is considered sufficiently unembedded on the face that it wouldn't be a violation of Soveya. Yeah.
But assuming that this criteria that if it's not embedded, it's okay.
Right.
How about nail polish? Is nail polish also?
Think nail polish is probably a that's more embedded. Yeah, that more permanently and closely adheres. Okay, so just to be aware of the background of those that market these Shabbos makeups, where that is coming from. Even in the Tshuva's Pua, that always quotes a range of poskim, in their discussion as to whether there's a hetzer to allow a woman who wants to be master tefillah and is uncomfortable going to the mikveh without without having makeup there afterwards. So most of the poskim they quote aren't so excited about this either. Well, some are, but from a Nevin Sal is even willing to wouldn't allow any of this makeup. After we saw B'Shalom and was Machmir, even Einam Iskayim Klal was Aser. He's willing to consider on a case by case basis being Matir Tefillah Bayom. That's a different topic. But again, that is seems to be reliably represented as Rav Moshe Shita about these types of cosmetics. Okay. So let's move on back to kosher. So we had noted last time that Rashi on the Mishnah Kufin Aleph Amud Beis references the Chutei HaYirbiyos as being a source for kosher b'mishkan. We noted that that doesn't seem to be the Maskanas HaGemara in Klal Gadol. There it says, down there, the Maskanas HaGemara is that we derive from Tzadei Chilazon and not from the Ksharim in the Yirbiyos. So I saw Reb Kiviger on the Mishnah raising this question, and the Teferis Yisrael here on this Mishnah addresses it. We noted last time also that there is Yerushalmi that does learn out from the Maskana, at least according to one day, when the Bavli sounds that we're learning out from Tadechilozo. So says the Teferis Yisrael, maybe Rashi here is highlighting the following. If you read the Gemara's Shaka on Ayin Dalin with Beis, the reason that the Gemara backs off from Urias HaMishkan is because of Matthew, not because of kosher. Sounds like that would have been a legitimate source for the Malach of kosher, but it's not a legitimate source for the Malach of Matthew, which is why we have to come on to Sadeh Chilazon to teach you both kosher and Matthew together. However, even Lemaskana, there may still be some resonance of Urias HaMishkan as far as kosher is concerned, meaning we don't reject the fact that there was kosher Urias HaMishkan, and maybe that could on some level have been a source for kosher even Lemaskana. And the resonance that that still has is that if you only had the source of Sadeh Chilazon, you might have thought that in order to have a Malacha Deraisa of kesher, it has to be a Maisa Uma, which we'll see is Shitas HaRambam. But that's not Shitas Rashi. And maybe Rashi's highlighting that if you learn from the Urios, so then the Ksharim and the Urios were not that level of a Maisa Uman. And maybe that's an indication, as per Shitas Rashi, that in order to have a Malacha Deraisa of kesher, you don't need a Maisa Uman. It's sufficient to have a kesher shel kayama, even if it's not a Maisuma. That's a very subtle suggestion as to why Rashi here may be highlighting Kute Urios, even if it's not what seems to be Maskan's Gemara 9 Dalit. Yeah.
I understand there's a Machlokas Rashi about Maaseh Uma. What is the Urios and the Tzadik have to do with
So
that?
the Teferis is also assuming that the Ksharim and the Urios were not a Maisuma, and the Ksharim and the Tzadik Chilazon were a Maisuma. So Rashi is highlighting that we're not only learning if the only instance of kosher in the Mishkan was Sadeh Chilazon, then you might have had a stronger tzad that kosher deraisa has to involve a maaseh. The fact that there still is resonance to the charm of the Urios tells you that even maaseh hedyot, as long as it's a kosher shel kayama, could be a violation of kosher deraisa. That's his suggestion. Okay. So what emerges from the Gemara Kufi Aleph Amud Bey onto Kufi Beis Amud Aleph is that there are three categories of kosher. There's a kosher that's aser min haTorah, there's a kosher that's aser min derabanan, and there's a kosher that is mutar lechatchila. There's a chayav, there's a pater v'aser, and there is a mutar lechatchila. So what are the gedarim of these differences? The Rashi on the Mishnah writes that Eluk Sharim, that a kasher d'oraisa, a kasher that you're chayavan, is a kasher shel kayama, she'eno matiro la'olam, that you never untie. That's a kasher shel kayama she'eino matiro la'olam. And the middle category, kufi beis amud aleph, one of the examples of the middle category is ushkepi, which is a kind of knot where you connect a ritzua to a sandal. That's all, sorry, that's also Malacha Deraisa. That's another example of Kesher Deraisa. And there Rashi writes, Dimasu Ushkepi, kosher kasher mitocho shelo tuchal latzeis b'hu kayim la'olam. That's a kasher that can't be undone, and that kasher is kayim la'olam. And then Bidrabanan, Rashi writes, "Kashakoshrim saviv raglayim, ein kosher bedochok shavamim shecholzo kashu kasher v'nolo kashu kasher, miu kasher shel kayama lo have." It's not. It's a decent knot, but it's not a kasher shel kayama. So that, which is possible after, Rashi says, is not a kasher shel kayam. According to Rashi, and we'll come back to what's mutter l'chachila for Rashi shortly. According to Rashi, the only criterion in determining whether something is kosher deraisa or kosher derabanan is whether it's a kasher shel kayam or not. Kasher shel kayam is malacha deraisa. She'ena shel kayam will be a malacha derabanan, and in some situations, it may even be mutter l'chachila. According to Rashi, the only criterion, the only question, is whether something is a kasher shel kayama or not. According to the Rif, however, the kasher b'derabanan that's pater v'laser is also a kasher shel kayama, but the reason that you're pater v'laser is because it's a ma'isa hedya and not a ma'isa uman. According to the Rif, Malacha deraisa requires kasher shel kayama and ma'isa uman. If you have a kasher shel kayama that's a ma'isa hedyot, that's going to be mutter min haTorah aser midrabanan. And if it's neither kasher shel kayama nor ma'isa hedyot, that is, sorry, if it's neither kasher shel kayama nor ma'isa uman, that's going to be mutter lechatchila. And that's the position of the Rambam as well, beginning of Perek Yud. Hakosher kasher shel kayama, v'hu ma'isa uman, chayiv. And to give examples, aval hakosher kasher shel kayama ve'eino ma'isa uman, pater. The kasher she'eino shel kayama ve'eino ma'isa uman, mutter l'koshro lechatchila. So if it's both kasher shel kayama and ma'isa uman, it's a malacha deraisa. If it's kasher shel kayama ma'isa hedyot, it's an issa derabanan. If it's eino shel kayama ve'eino ma'isa uman, then it's mutter lechachila. It's not mefurash in Rambam or Rif. What about if you have a ma'isa uman that's a kasher she'eino shel kayama? Right, the Rambam and the Rif tell you that if it's a ma'isa hedyot, that's a kasher shel kayama, that's also b'nei derabanan. What if it's a ma'isa uman and a kasher she'eino shel kayama? Yeah. What?
Wasn't it at the end of Halakha Beis? He says that point.
The end of Halakha Beis, called kasher she'eino shel kayama, im kashro kasher uman, hareza aser. So why does the Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef says it's nearer that way from the Rambam, but he presents it as not being mefurish in the Rambam. You're saying it's really mefurish in the Rambam. The way the Beis Yosef presents it, Beis Yosef says, according to the Rif and the Rambam, it's mefurash that if you have a ma'isa uman and a kasher she'eino shel kayama, then that's also midrabanan. He says it's not mefurash the other way, that if you have a kasher she'eino shel kayama on a ma'isa uman, that it's mefurish in the Rambam and mefurish in the Rif that if you have a kesher she'ena shel kayama demaisa hadyo, sorry, a kesher shel kayama, that's a maisa hadyo, that's also the Rabbana. A kesher shel kayama, sorry, a kesher she'ena shel kayama and a maisa uman, he says a non mefurish in the Rambam the Rif, but that's the impression you get from the Rif, and that's the impression you get from the Rambam. Where he says what you just quoted, called kasher she'ena shel kayama, im kasher kasher uman reza. So you're asking, what do you mean impression? Isn't that mefurish?
And it was also Talmud because he goes on to quote that Rama. Because Rama.
As I'm saying, he says
Ah,
it's
okay.
near me Rama. He says he presents it as a mashmos of that line, but it's not mefurish in that line.
Oh.
Sure. I was just primed to present the way the Beis Yosef says it, but you're pointing out why does he frame it that way? Not sure. Okay. But whether or not it's mefurish mefurish in the Rambam or slightly less than mefurish mefurish in the Rambam, that's what's assumed to be, but that's the Rambam, that's what's assumed halacha within the Rambam and the Rif, that anytime you have a chad de l'reisa, that's going to be an issa derabanan. If you have a tarti l'reisa, that's an issa deraisa. If you have a tarti l'tivusa, that is mutar l'chadchila. Now, within the Rambam, as we'll see in a few moments, according to Rashi, we have to work to define what's the middle category of Eino Shel Kayama, but still Kayama enough to create an Issur Derabanan, as opposed to Eino Shel Kayama Klal. According to the Rambam, there are no three categories of Shel Kayama. There's Shel Kayama. There's Eino Shel Kayama, and what's considered mutar l'chalila is a function of both Eino Shel Kayama together with Maaseh Hedyot. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Yud Zayin, Sukkot and Hay, the Mechaber just presents Chitas HaRambam v'Rif. HaKosher Kesher Shel Kayama V'Hu Ma'aseh Uman K'Chayev Gam Kesher Gamalim Kesher Sapanim etc. V'Al Kosher Kesher Shel Kayama V'Eino Ma'aseh Uman Pater. And then the Rama says V'Yesh Kol Kim Shesfir Lahu the Kol Kesher Shel Kayama Afilo Shel Hedyo Kayava. And I love that Chitas Rashi as we'll flesh out in a moment. Says the Mishpura Sivkat and Hey. The day is who pliga amechaber gam b'she'eno shel kayama v'hu ma'aseh hedyot v'yadayter she'iskayim akasher eizes zman. That if you have a knot that's a ma'aseh hedyot and eino shel kayama, but you intend for it to last for some amount of time, d'lamechaber mutar. That according to the Mechaber, even that middle category that according to Rashi would be an Issa Derabanan because it's Eino Shel Kayama, but it's going to have a little bit of a Kiyum. According to the Rambam, once it's Eino Shel Kayama Lagamri, and meaning once it's not a bona fide Kesher Shel Kayama and it's Ma'aseh Hedyot, then it's going to be Mutar Lechadchila. So a Kesher Beinoni, if you will, the middle type of a kesher that's not going to last, whatever the shear for kesher shel kayama is, the ma'aseh hedyot will be mutar l'chachila according to the Rambam, but not according to Rashi. So according to the Riff and the Rambam, the Riff and the Rambam relative to Shitas Rashi has a relative cool and a relative chumrah. According to the Riff and the Rambam, a kasha shel kayama on a maisa hedyot is only going to be asur midrabanan. According to Rashi, kasha shel kayama, even if it's a maisa hedyot, is going to be asur min ha Torah. And then you have a relative chumrah according to the Rambam. If you have a kasher she'eino shel kayama klal, it's super eino shel kayama. But it's a ma'aseh uman, that's going to be asur midrabanan. Whereas according to Rashi, if it's super she'eino shel kayama, it's going to be mutar l'chachila, even if it's a ma'aseh uman. And l'halacha, we're machmir for the chumras of both. And that's what emerges from the Ramah, who is choshesh for Shitas Rashi. According to Rashi, that we don't care about Uman versus Hedyot at all. All we care about is Kesher Shel Kayama. Then how do we define Shel Kayama? So let's look back. There are a number of Rashi that you have to piece together. And that's some of the challenge here. So we started with Rashi and the Mishnah that defined the Kesher Shel Kayama as Eino Matiro L'Olam. And we saw the Rashi on Kuf Yud Beis Aleph as well, Divamaskal with Ushkepi, that says that that kind of a Kesher D'Oraisa is Kayim L'Olam. Seems so going to last forever. That's a bona fide Kesher Shel Kayama. Rashi says the same thing, Psachim Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, Divamaskal Kesher Shel Kayama, Shu Aslo Shelo L'Hatira L'Olam. Okay, but what's the middle category? What's the Pater Vel Aser category of Eino Shel Kayama Lagamri, but somewhat moderately Shel Kayama? Rashi writes on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, top line, Kitra de Kitri Bezamama, Ritsu Aruka Shemachnisim Sham, Nibne, Sham, Shavua. That sometimes you'll leave it there for a week or two. So this Isser Kosher the Rabbanan, the Pater Velaser, is a tzir where you may end up leaving it there a week or two. Then look a little later on, about halfway through the narrow lines in Rashi, Gibra Maskel. B'dechumrasa de katri inu elu sandalim shashara nachim she'en ritzuas guas b'hem ha'di uman alayim atman koshin asam b'chumrasa ba'alma v'koshin amatirin upa'amim shamiskayim Shabbos ha'chodesh. Sometimes that'll last for a week or a month. So the top Rashi says the kesher that's part of a lesser is a kesher that could at least last for a week or two. And Rashi later says it could last for a week or a month. And what is the kasha that's mutar l'chachila according to Rashi? Dibra maftei chalukah on kuf yud aleph amid beis, second Rashi on the Mishnah. And the second Mishnah, the kevan the kol yoma sharulei lo dami nidi lekasher shel kayama mutar l'chachila. If it's a kasher that you untie every day, then that doesn't at all resemble a kasher shel kayama, and that's going to be mutar l'chachila. Similar, yeah.
Are these criteria how long the last element not will last on its own, or how long people generally will keep it in that state?
So hold off on that. We'll get to another show. Then Rashi, four lines from the top and goofy basement, I'll do maskal pshita. The ha kol yomi sharila. Every day you untie that knot. So that's the kind of knot that is mutter lechachila. And finally, Dibra Maskel with the name Achuza, Shem rachve levav makpidim al lugushayan unalayan liyos mechubanin v'koshin aso b'dochak v'tzarech latir arvis. So that was tied in a way that you can't get your shoe off without untying the knot, that you have to untie it on a daily basis, and that is mutar lechatchila. So what emerges from all these Rashis together is that if you have a kesher that's going to last forever, that's a kesher shel kayam, which is a melacha deraisa. If you have a kesher that you're matir b'chol yov, that is mutar lechachila. But it's not so clear where are the boundaries of the middle category of the pater v'lacher category. What is the minimum amount of time that would make something usher midarabanan? What's the maximum amount of time before it gets into the territory of a melacha daraisa? Yes.
From Rashi, the Ramaskal of the Darabonon.
Yeah.
So couldn't you understand it even more than a month? Because it would be, even though it was Shel Kayama for the entire dry season, I don't like talking about like a climate where there could be several months, but even still, that's not a Kesher Shel Kayama.
Kishakoshim Savivaglayim, Ain Koshim Bidochak, Shapa Amim Shakosa Kishu Kasher, Venola Kishu Kasher, Niu Kesher Shel Kayama Lohave. She's saying it could be a few months in a chanami, but it's not there la'olam. It's not the kasher shakayam, which is olam.
Right.
But we still need to figure out where do you draw the line between derabanan and deraisa. What is how literal is the olam? Is anything short of the olam literally only going to be there? So derabanan. Good. Yeah.
What was the second Rashi Rebbe quoted about the Yoma, about the one day?
The Rashi Mavtei Chaluka, Rashi Pshita, Rashi Dibnei Machuza. Okay. So the Beis Yosef understands within Rashi that if something is Omei L'Skayim less than 7 days, that's going to be Mutar L'Chachila. After all, Rashi in one place says Shavua o Shvayim. Rashi in another place says Shavua Chodesh. But Rashi doesn't give you any mark less than a week. So the Beis Yosef assumes that if it's Omer L'Skayim less than a week, that's going to be Mutar L'Chachila. So I assume the puzzle looks are because how do you know to draw the line there? Rashi also tells you that 1 day is Mutar. So maybe you draw the line between 1 day and 2 days, not between 7 days and 6 days. Right.
Also, from Ibn Machuzi, he says that it's not worth starting by Tiro B'Cholelo, so that might be even more.
So anything that's short of Tzarech L'Tiro B'Cholelo would be Asur D'Rabbanan.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Same idea. So one could well have said that maybe draw the line anything more than a week, a day, is Asur D'Rabbanan, and the Shavua is Lav Dafka. After all, Rashi doesn't say Shavua, he says Shavua Shvayim, Shavua Chodesh. So clearly there's some Lav Dafkaness there in the fact that there are multiple target lengths. So Mechate see that Shavua is going to be Dafka either. That's largely the Taz's issue with the Beis Yosef. The Taz in Sifkat and Aleph goes to Beis Yosef. This is maybe halfway through the Sifkat, a little more. It says, Vehim Tumur Ma'od, Ve'enim Estavim Klal, Lafini Estaiti. Devada yesh al Rashi atzmo l'tmo l'fi avanas habeis osay da'atu shavua chodesh k'sivim baraisa the name of pachas mi shavua mutter the yosim mi chodesh chayim the two da'akish yisachar Rashi shavua zachar gan ken shvayim the chiheichid v'shvayim badi leslach diyuk the pachas shvayim mutter hachanami lo teidok ela ikar abarar the lo chodesh lo shavis hayom and Rashi's marks of Chodesh and Shabbos, Shavuot Shvayim, are Lav Dafka. He says, Kol Shabanu Lekitzvas Man, Ein chiluk ben shnei yamim lechatzi shana b'kol aser. The ein chiyuv. The shavuot the nakar Rashi yulafia in the ma'ariv and the gemara. Where Rashi says a week, that was the mitzias. But there's nothing magical about a week. So anything that's going to last for any amount of time more than a day, but not forever, says the Taz, that's going to be aser derabanan. It doesn't make a difference if it's 2 days or 6 months. It's all the same. And Shavua, Shavuayim, Chodesh in Rashi is all lav da. And that emerges somewhat as well from Marach or Zerua, Vidas Rashi. Marach or Zerua, Simin, Resh, Tes, Vav. He says, according to Rashi, that the kasher shel derabanan is patur al aser. Pirish tamid chacham haritzua shekarech saviv raglo. Eino korcha b'chozek v'eino mudekas yafa. V'shomi lefamim na'alo below a teres kasher mashma. Da'afu chi agad nashayachol yotzit man aruch v'kama yamim lo yavu lidei atara. Shrei shom tovano lo below a teres kasher. That if you're going to walk around with it for a few days, that's aser derabanan. Kama yam. Aval hecha shebi biror yitzarech latiro achar yom o yomayim muter lechachila. So he says a day or two, not only ladafka day. So he adds a two. So the Taz said two or more is aser derabanan. Marach or Zeruah contrasts a day or two with Kama Yamim. So at least you see his Kama Yamim is less than 7 days. So it's not exactly the Taz, but he says the limit is more than 2 days. If you're going to untie within 1 or 2 days, that's Mutar Lechachila. And there's a Rabbi Yah, Simon Reish Rav, that says if something is going to be untied within 3 or 4 days, then that's not a chibur. He's talking both in the context of Topher and the context of Kesher, that would be a less than 3 or 4 days. It sounds like it would be a mutar lechachila kind of a Kesher. So you have the Beis Yosef that understands in Rashi, 7 days is Kodesh Kodashim. Less than 7 days is going to be mutar lechachila. More than seven is going to be Aser Derabanan. The Taz is skeptical about that. And he thinks you have no raya in Rashi that anything more than a day is going to be mutter. And just parenthetically, Barako Zeru has a lashon of a day or two, and the Raviyah has a lashon of 3 or 4. In the other direction, there's Rabbeinu Yerucham told us on the Mechava Nesiv Yubeis Chelak Yudalid that defines a kesher shel kayama is meant to last for chatzi shana o shana. We saw Rashi's lashon a few times is la'olam. So how la'olam is la'olam? Does la'olam literally mean abiyas kol tzedek and more? So the Rabbeinu Yochum has la'olam means a long time, but it doesn't mean forever. If it's going to last for half a year or a year, then it's also a funny lashon, half a year or a year. A week or two is a week off, or a week or a month is 3 weeks off, but half a year or a year is half a year off. But that's the lashon of Chatzi Shana O Shana. Be that as it may, the Rama has two possibilities here, Lalacha. The Eshchokim Shesfir Luhu the Chol Kasher Shel Kayama. Afilu shel hedyo chayav and alav. So that's Shitas Rashi against the Rambam Rif, that you could be chayav per kosher the Raisa, even if it's a maisa hedyo, as long as it is a kasher shel kayama. The Yesh Omrim shakol kasher she'enu asi lahatir ba'osa yom atmo mikri shel kayama. So day one of the Rama is that anything that's going to last more than a day is shel kayama enough to be asur midrabanan. It doesn't mean shel kayama, super shel kayama, that's the raisa. It means that if it's going to last more than a day, that's going to be the patra bal asur, middle category for Rashi. Yeshma kilim lomar the ad shiva yamim lo mikri shel kayama. And the second possibility is 7 day standard, that up to 7 days would be mutar lichat bila. So what is the standard of Oso Hayom? Says the Mishnah of Katan Vav, the Oso Yom Atzmo, Ela Lamachar. So if it's Eino Asi Lahatra on that day, but rather the next day, that's going to be Asi Derabah. Avalam Asi Lahatra Bulel Mose Shabbos, Lo Mikri Shel Kayama Klau, Umutu Lachatila. But if you're going to untie it, Mose Shabbos, that's mutar lechachila. In kosher b'leil Shabbos Kodesh, la'asi lahatir b'yom Shabbos atzmo, afal gav de'ein mamish v'oso yom, mikol makom, yesh lomer d'shari, d'chol pachat v'kaptala shos, b'yom lom yekri p'yumagadim. But we say that day doesn't mean that day lafuke the next morning, it means that 24-hour period. So if you tie it Friday night, you're going to be matred on Shabbos day. That's also within the 1 day window, and that would still be mutar lechat bila. Okay. Now, as we said, the Ramah doesn't mean to dismiss Shitas HaRambam. The Ramah is saying that in point of fact, we're machmir in both directions. We're machmir with the Chumash of Rashi and the Chumash of the Rambam. So that being said, the Shilta Giborim, I'm Mem Aleph Os Gimel, Mem Aleph Amid Aleph Adav Rif, going on Dabi Beis, Os Gimel. Shilta Giborim raises a chashash that any double knot, any kesher gabi kesher, may be a Kesher shel Uman. Lashon is that it's a Kesher amidst a strong Kesher. You have to be choshe, says the Shilta Givorim, that any double knot may, even if your intention is to be matred, even if it's made to be matred on that day, maybe that's still considered to be a Kesher shel Uman, which would be Aser Aliz Derabanan. Now the Shabbos home points out, if you read the, it's a long Shilta Givorim. Later on in the piece, Shilta Givorim does raise that maybe it's not necessarily a Kesher Shel Uman if it's a kind of a knot that everybody commonly makes. I mean, if it's a double knot that everybody makes, that kind of a double knot, then maybe that's not a Kesher Shel Uman. So there may be some equivocation at the end of the piece, but that Shilta Givorim is the basis of the Hemshech of the Ramah over here. V'yesh Omrim, V'yesh Lizahir, Shalola Hatir, Shum Kesher, Shehu Shnei Kesharim, Zal Zeh, De'ein Anu Bekiyin, Eza Mikri Kesher Shel Uman. We're not really sure what's considered Kesher Shel Uman. Da'filu V'she'enu Shal Kiyam Asa L'Kashro, V'vu Adin La'atiro. They have to be koshesh that a double knot may be a kasher shel kayama. Mikol makom, nira de b'makom tzara, ein lachush, umutu latiro, de eino ela issa de rabbana, makom tzara lo gazru. Vad b'ina gimel k'sharim zel gzeh, hainu kishe kosher beiz dvarim b'yachad, avalam asa kasher b'rosh achad, shel chud ha-mashicha, dino kishne k'sharim. So a knot on the top of a string may have a din of a double knot, even if it's not actually a double knot. Yeah, I still haven't come back to your previous question.
Yeah. What's like definition of Maase Uman? If it's something that, like, if we're assuming that we're choshesh is Maase Uman, something
Right.
that like is literally taught to little kids, so what the definition of Maase Uman is being?
Right. So That's basically what the Shulchan Gemara raises, that if it's something everyone uses, maybe there should be a Maisuman. But the bottom line, the Ramah says kind of a low plug that we're not really sure what's a Maisuman. So you have to be choshesh that any kasher gabbai kasher may be a Maisuman. But we'll see in a moment that may not be Muskam, and part of that may relate to the issue that you're raising. But if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sipat Yudalid, Yesh Lizar, Perish. Kevin de la Rif Aramam Asir Lechachila Beuman Afilo Kishamat Yerbo Bayom Ve'einan of the Ki and Mahu Kesher Uman Umistabra the Kol Kesher Shekoshin Oso Hadei Ketev Havi Shel Uman Lakach Adu Nisari Mekol Kesher Shu Shnei Ksharim Dishnei Ksharim Havi Kesher Amitz Mishum Kach Shum Kesher Mashakasim Shum Kesher Etzal Omar Afilo Osam Ksharim Amuvarin Mivuarin Lekaman Demutu Lekshar Lahatra Nadafka Bekesher Echad. Fine. So if you take the Ramah at face value, one would not be allowed to, other than Malcolm Tsar, one would not be allowed to tie a double knot on Shabbos under any circumstances. The Aruch HaShulchan is skeptical about the breadth of the application of this Ramah in Sif Yud. He thinks that the Ramah here may only be talking about a kesher that's going to last for 7 days. That according to the day, that up to 7 days is mutter, but a kesher, al gabbai kesher, we wouldn't be matzah up to 7 days. But for 1 day, maybe still could be matzah. So he's skeptical about exactly what the intention of the Ramah was, how broadly to ask for a double knot. And there's a shari tshuva here. Shari Tshuva writes, Kasa Birka Yosef, Bigalilo Seinu, Pashat Aminag, Likshor, Shnei Kisharim, Bichag Go Raso, Asher B'masnag, She'enu Shel Kayam. That the minag was to tie a double knot on a belt, on a sash, which is Enu Shel Kayama, but who shall head you? Less the chashla el miuta de miuta de betelan de miutayu. That this kind of a double knot on a belt is shalhedyo, it is ena shal kayama, and therefore the minhag is to allow tying such a double knot. So Rav Schechter assumes that this shari tshuva is against the Ramah. That the minhag reflecting the Shari Tshuva is against the Ramah to allow tying a double knot if it doesn't otherwise fall into what we would define as a kasher shel kayama or the middle category of kasher shel kayama the mixas, and that the Shari Tshuva is reflective of the correct minhag. And the Shabbos Home understands this way as well, page 208 to 209. That's why Rav Schechter thinks that for Malcolm Tzarech, especially for little kids, you can tie a double knot on their shoes because the Shari Tshuva disagrees with the Ramah and the minhag follows what the Shari Tshuva quotes. And Rav Schechter thinks if we held at the Ramah, then it would be hard to justify tying a tie on Shabbos because the tie is multiple knots, and tying a tie wherever you tie it should be a violation of the Ramah's Gemara not to tie any kesher al gabi kesher. The fact that Minhag HaOlam is to tie ties indicates, or it's because we follow the Shari Tshuva against the Ramah. However,
I just wanted to talk about ties later, but
yes,
how are ties? We can talk about later. How are
let's
ties?
leave ties for later. Okay, probably next time. Yeah,
Can we just explain again exactly how that contradicts the Ramah?
the Ramah says the minhag is not to tie any kasher al gabei kasher because that's a chashash of a kasher shel umah. Shari Tshuva says the minhag was to tie a double knot on a belt. So Rav Schefter says, sadly, the Shari Tshuva is reflecting a minhag contrary to the minhag of the Ramah. However, Shmiras Shabbos Kol Chasa in Rabbi Ribi, I'd assume not that way. There's no machlokas, the Ramah and the Shari Tshuva, both are correct le halacha. And we're talking about different types of double knots. When the Ramah says no double knots, it doesn't mean absolutely no double knots under any circumstances. There are different grades of double knots. So Shmiras Shabbos writes, Parak Tesvav Ha'ara Kuf Ayin Hey B'Shem B'Shalmazalmin, that the practice of many women to tie a knot on a tichel on Shabbos, that's because it's not a kasher on this, it's not a the lashon of the Shaldei Gevorim, which is the source of the Ramah, was that a kasher gabi kasher is a kasher on this, and therefore maybe a kasher shel kayama. So Shlomo Zalman said the type of knot that you tie in a tichel is not a kasher amitz. It's a asu latir b'chol yom. It's meant to be untied that very day, and that's what the that's the kind of a knot that the Shari Tshuva is talking about. Orach HaShabbos writes he heard the same thing from Rav Eliashiv, and in fact the mashmaos of the Shilta Giborim is that if you know for a fact that a given kasher gabei kasher is not amitz, then it would be mutter. So the Ramah may not be any more machmir than the Shilta Gibarim that is his source. Now Shmir Shabbos does say in response to what he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that there are many women that don't untie their tichels every day. So that might be an issue with that presentation of Heter. But that's Shmir Shabbos' assumption that, at least in theory, the Shari Tshuva is only talking about a case where it's super, it's clearly Eino Shel Kayama Klal, even if it's a double knot, and maybe the Ramah would be matter that kind of a double knot. Rabbi Karp assumes the same thing. He assumes that the Shari Tshuva doesn't disagree with the Ramah. The fact that the Shari Tshuva just quotes what he quotes B'Stam and doesn't present it in a broader context. And the Chazon Ish, anyway, like the Aruch HaShulchan, Chazon Ish, Siman Nun Beis, Os Yud Zayin, Siman Nun Beis, Os Yud Zayin, assumes that the Ramah, anyway, is only a Chumrah and not Me'ikar Hadin. Okay. I think we'll stop here for today. Next time, Mirza Hashem, we'll discuss whether the definition of Shel Kayama is dependent on the norm versus your intent, and whether we follow your intent only l'chumrah or even l'kula. Okay, so pick up Mirza Hashem on Wednesday.